Is that good? I genuinely can't tell if that's good.
Fucking hell, man. My friend just sent me some incredible piano playing by this fucking guy. What's his name? Let me find it. His name is Levi.sct. What's his actual fucking name? Levi Skechtman. Well, I should have just fucking said his at because that's embarrassing. I don't know. Skechtman. Hey, by the way, what's up? It's Aidan Jones. You're listening to Sitting Under a Tree for Tuesday, the 26th of March, 2024. Yum. Tea. Oh, that is good. Fucking fuck about. I've left that for a while because I've been watching videos of this motherfucker play piano and he's so good. One of my friends every now and then just sends me video of some incredible person being amazing at the piano. And God, it's nice. Oh, mate, I'm tired. That's actually given me a bit of energy. I have had, boy, have I had a nutso 24 to 48 hours. I was on my training trip for a 3-day tour at work. So I was the trainee and there was another person giving the tour. And then, you know, I'm just along. I've never done one of these 3-day tours before. I don't know how the logistics work. You're cooking dinner. You're checking people into hostels. You're doing all this stuff, breakfast, whatever. So I'm just there to suss it out. And the first day, the first day was wonderful. I was hungover because I went out on Saturday night. I wasn't, you know, drunk hungover, but like had a bit of MD and had 4 hours sleep. So isn't that interesting that I would reach for the word hungover there? I guess it just describes that state. It doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol. Like obviously I don't drink, but you know, I don't know. It's just not drinking has become such a part of my life that it's like I gave up drinking. I didn't give up a fucking cool word for telling people that you were a legend last night. That's it, isn't it? The word hungover doesn't mean you drank. It just means you were cool and now you're tired from spending too much time being cool. You know what? I'm going to fucking write that down. I don't care. Who knows it? And by that, I mean I want everyone to know it when I do some stand-up about it. I'll notate it with a voice. No, how do you... What? Yeah, here we go. Being hungover doesn't necessarily mean you were drunk. It just means you were being cool last night. Yeah, look. That's great stand-up. So, yeah, I, Saturday night, had a party for the end of this TV work that I've been doing. Building all these sets. Fucking yawning cunt. How are you guys? I hope you're good. I feel like, you know, I'm still figuring out where I'm at. So, yeah, went out for that, you know, did a bit of MD, did a line of coke, really good coke, lasted for like 20 minutes and then that was it. And that was great. And got back to mine at about 2 and packed my bags and then woke up at 6:30. And rolled on into town for the bus and, yeah, got there at 7:30 and we started. So, day one, Great Ocean Road, I know it all. So, I was just sleeping. I had my camera. I bought a camera, like an analog SRT camera off of a friend about a month ago for $100. Having never used one in my life. So, I slept for the first little bit of the trek in the morning, but... After a while, got a coffee, had a bit of brekkie, you know, woke myself up. And I jumped on Google and I was like, let me suss out how to use this camera, huh? Let me figure it out. And I'm learning about, you know, aperture and ISO and shutter speed and how those kind of balance out to have a properly exposed photo. And I found out that the battery in the camera is dead, so the light meter doesn't work, but that's okay. I'll try and do it without the light meter. I'll just kind of play it by ear. And I've done two rolls of film, which I'm now going to have to go get developed and see how I did. I wrote down all of the settings that I had the film on when I took the photos so that I can see, you know, how it is, how they come out and whatever. And that was Sunday. And by the end of the day, I was feeling good. I had a lovely dude. Check this out, though. Sunday night, we get into Warrnambool. And because I'm there with the company, I've got a single room paid for. So I'm in a hotel in a nice room. The room, I check in, I've got a queen bed, a separate lounge room, TV in each, and a bathroom with a fucking bath with a spa in it. Listen to me, a spa, all right? And I kind of wanted to have dinner with all the other people in the crew, so I waited for them for a bit, but I realized I couldn't, you know, I guess I missed them at the hotel, so I went and had dinner by myself, ended up having a lovely chat to my server, who just had the best energy, and I had a pizza, and I had some fucking wedges with sour cream and sweet chili. Saved some for tomorrow, went back to the room. I got back at like 8, chatted to a mate on the phone for a while, and then I ran the spa and I watched the first 3 episodes of season 3 of The Bear, which I've been watching and absolutely fucking loving what a show about, you know, food and restaurant culture, but it's also really, it's just about passionate people doing a thing and trying to realize a vision. And I was all fucking fired up because on Saturday, oh my God, dude, I've actually had a very inspirational week, you know. Saturday, I went to the Melbourne Flower Show with a friend of mine who's just moved from Adelaide to Melbourne. Very excited to have another friend in town. And I was like, let's go to the Melbourne Flower and Garden Show. I've never been before, but man, this is actually so funny. Years ago, I had the hots for this girl. I worked in a cafe and we were just like, I just had the biggest fucking hots for her, man. She was so cute and funny and we just, you know, we got on well at work and like classic me, I'm like, well, this must mean that, you know, we're going to fall in love and be together. And I reckon if I was a bit more realistic with it, I would have understood that it was actually just, we were just having a nice time and it wasn't, you know, a sexual or romantic thing. But I got it in my head that I should ask this girl out. And good for me, I did. I asked her out, but here's where shit went awry. This would have been like 2017, I reckon. 16, 17. I asked her out and my plan was, it must have been 2017 because it was the Melbourne Flower Show and that happens at this time of year. So it must have been exactly 7 years ago last weekend that this happened. We'd been working together for a while and I was like, let's hang out. And I was like, do you want to go to this flower festival that I've seen when I, you know, walk around the city? It's there. We should go. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, sick. It's really expensive. So what do you reckon? We just jump the fence. Because like, I guess I was insecure and I was trying to impress her. I was trying to show her how much of a bad boy I was. Fucking hell. So, yeah, man. She's like, yeah, all right, man. Like, whatever, dude. You're the one who wants to hang out. So you make the insane plan. So we get there and we're walking around the perimeter. And she's like, so we're just going to jump in? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, all right, but there's heaps of guards. I'm like, nah, babe, come on. It's sick. I swear I didn't call her babe. I promise you I did not call her babe. And I jump over the fence and she's standing there. And as I jump over, she's like, Aiden, wait. And I jump over and straight away there's just a security guard just fucking on my ass, grabs me by the arm and starts leading me out. And I'm like, sorry, dude. He's just like, no, you're not. Oh, it was so humiliating. I remember that. I remember being like, I'm sorry. She's like, no, you're not. Just so very matter-of-factly, like angrily, was like, you're not sorry. And, you know, he was right. I wasn't sorry at all. If anything, I was actually just angry because I felt embarrassed. So, but I didn't know how to admit that I was embarrassed. So I was just like, fuck you. And I come out the thing and then the girl's there waiting for me, just like smiling, and she's embarrassed for me. And I'm like, let's go to a bar. I just took her to a bar, had one drink, and then I guess she made an excuse to leave. Whatever. Anyway, that was 7 years ago. And on Saturday, I righted that wrong. My friend moved to Melbourne and I'm like, dude, do you want to go to the Melbourne Flower and Garden Show with me? And he was like, yep. And I'm like, sick. And I got us tickets. And we went, and when I tell you that it was the most magical, beautiful, it was so sick, dude. All these people, there were all these, it's at the Exhibition Centre in Carlton Gardens, the Melbourne Exhibition Centre, constructed in 1880 for the Melbourne World's Fair, and again in 1888, extended. It's a beautiful old building with great history and, you know, the roots and the core of our beautiful city. And the only time that I've been in there, it was to get vaccinated for COVID. And it just wasn't exciting or cool or fun. It was just this thing, you know. And we got to go in there and see all of these flower arrangements and designs that these wonderful passionate people who are studying floristry have made for the festival. And, you know, some of them were so inspired and some of them were so complicated and some of them were just a bit shit and uninspired, and that's great. I took photos of almost every single one and I posted them on my Instagram. If you follow me, you would have seen the spam. I was so happy. The inside of the place, it just smells fresh, like the amalgam of all the different fragrances of all these flowers and the freshness of the water. And it was a Saturday. It's like we got there at midday, so it's like that's my favorite time of the week, Saturday afternoon. And oh man, there's so much. I've been so inspired this week. So I post all of this stuff, and here's a beautifully inspired thing. A friend of mine in London, who I haven't spoken to in a long time, took the time to reply to every single one of the photos with a review of the arrangement. Here are some of the highlights. She used their names. That was so funny because they had their names in front of the arrangements. And so she started referring to people by their name. 4 out of 10, Michelle, you've just stuck everything that could fall into the Wonderland theme. Choosing a part of the book would have been a lot more beneficial for you. The tea party, the golden afternoon could have been perfect. Instead, you've added 4 rabbits, 1 owl. Is that incense sticks? What are those? See no evil, hear no evils over there. Not impressed. Great. 4 out of 10. 5 out of 10. There's something there, Lam Fong, but a little more time at the end to assess would have helped you a little, I think. Great. 8 out of 10, Ariane. I get it's a waterfall, but sometimes it's better to be symbolic rather than literal. And in this case, I would have gone symbolic. A lot more powerful without the Angelina fibers. Where was one of the ones? I can't be fucked finding the other messages, but she rated some 10 out of 10s and she loved them. There were some that I fucking loved, man. There was this one, I don't even know what kind of flowers or plants they are, but there was this one of the first ones I saw was just so perfectly weighted, like slightly off balance, you know, that, I don't know, there's just something about it really struck me. Minimal, and the flowers are so delicate, and Alana Johnston was who it was, from Melbourne Polytechnic. Hers was the winning arrangement in my eyes. Anyway, so I'm going around looking at all this shit and I'm thinking about my show and I'm just like, I had a friend who was into floristry a few years ago when I was recording my special, and I remember at the time thinking, I wonder if it would be cool to involve her and the floristry in my set somehow for the special. But I didn't end up doing it because it just, I don't know, the idea didn't kind of have legs. But I've always remembered that, and I've been thinking about staging in the last few years and how I can incorporate that into the show. And I think with my last show, what I didn't like so much about it is that the staging ended up feeling like kind of auxiliary to the show. It didn't need to be there. It wasn't necessarily a part of it, and it didn't really serve any purpose. And I wanted it to feel like, to give this feeling of like my lounge room. And, you know, there was a chair and there was a fucking easel with some photos and whatever. And it was just kind of half-hearted. And the experience that I had in the Gold Coast the other week, where I should have brought the audience in because there were only 15 of them, and instead I just let them sit in the audience all spread out while I played the piano and bombed. And I realized that I should have gathered them around me and gone completely off the PA system and just gone off of the speakers of the, you know, just treated it like I was just showing them this thing as friends. I've been thinking about that and about how to break down the wall between the audience and the performer in more kind of unspoken ways than the explicit way of just doing stand-up at them, you know. And I walked around the Melbourne Flower Show and I just started having an idea. Like, these, I love these arrangements so much. I feel like they really speak to me. They're alive and I like that about it. And what if somehow I could have a flower arrangement be a part of the staging and the whole room of my show? And then the next thought was, well, all of the rooms in the comedy festival have like 3 shows a night, so you have to pack up the staging, right? And then I thought, what if I hire a gallery space for my show? What if I find a gallery space, hire it for the month? I guess I would have to have a bar, so I would have to get a temporary liquor license, find someone to work the door and work the bar. But if I could do that and make it a comedy festival venue just for my show, then I could set the whole space up as a kind of immersive, you know, like have flowers in some kind of arrangement. I would have to reach out to a florist or someone like one of these students and be like, hey, I've got a project. I'm a comedian. I have this show that I'm writing. Would you be interested in working with me? And I just want to meet someone, find someone who is as excited about the idea from their side of like where I get to express myself through floristry as I am excited about expressing myself through comedy. And the way that I imagine it is people walk in to the room and I'm already playing. I'm playing a stripped back version of the piece with just the chords that won't be recognizable because it doesn't have the melody, and it'll just sound like ambient music. And they will walk into the room and I'm thinking, because the piece is a nocturne and so it's evocative of the night. And so I'm thinking somehow be like low lit or like a twilight kind of lighting, and the flowers could maybe have like a blue, violet, indigo theme. So it'll be evocative of the night. I would love it to be candlelit. I don't know if that's legal or achievable, but that's another thing. And then they come in for 10 minutes and there's, you know, the bar's open. They get drinks. They walk around. They enjoy the thing. And then at some point I signal with just a 5-1 resolution of the music, like dun, dun. I finish. The lighting changes and the show, I go, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Aidan Jones. And I stand up and I take the applause and then I just start the show. So at the start of the show, people walk in and they kind of have this experience with the space. And then the way, because it's a fucking, you know, like because it's a theater, because it's a gallery space, I can arrange the seats however I want. I can get them real close in so there's just the piano and then enough room for me to maybe stand a little bit next to the piano, and then everyone's kind of around. Oh my God, I feel like this is a great idea, and I've been thinking about it since Saturday. And I had that idea when I was at the at the Flower Festival, and I told my friend, and it's just coming out. Listen to me talk about it now. It's coming out really clearly. So all this is to say, I did that on Saturday. I went for a great bit of a party with my friends. I was learning how to use an analog camera, which I've never done before, and I was learning a new thing, and I was enjoying that. I was meeting people on Sunday on the tour. Sunday night, I stay in this beautiful hotel. I have a spa. I talk to my friend. I watch this show. And Monday, I'm just getting ready for more of the same. And then at 2 p.m., the guide, who is the one who is leading the tour, and I'm on a training day, and everyone knows that I'm training. Everyone knows that I haven't done this before. They're all like, oh, sorry, the guy comes up to me and he goes, hey, man, big change of plans. And he walks me over to the side and he tells me about a family emergency that is happening in his life. And he says, I'm going to get on a bus and go back to Melbourne right now, and you're going to take the rest of the tour. And I'm not going to say what his family emergency was, but I will say that if I wasn't there, he would have been able to do the rest of the tour. He would have just had to have done it. It's hard to not judge. You forgive people when they're in a difficult spot. And I'm trying to forgive this person. And I hope next time I see him, if he just says sorry, then we're all good. I really hope he understands the difficult position that he put me in. I'm still a little bit annoyed about it. As fun as it was, and the rest of the trip was very fun, I went from just being so completely relaxed and calm and just like, you know, I'm enjoying a couple days and a little trip and I'm learning a few things, but really I'm just taking it at my own pace, to in the space of 5 minutes, now I'm responsible for 19 people and the trip that they've all paid for. And I have to, yeah, just completely play catch up. Like, I didn't even have half an hour to just look at the itinerary and be like, all right, what is it exactly that we are going to do right now? Because, fuck, it was so stressful, dude. I don't think I've really had time to process it. Like, he came up, he told me the situation, and in that moment, I was all just worried about him. Like, I was trying to support him. I gave him a hug. I was like, you're good. That sucks. I'm sorry. And then I knew that I just had to put on this face of, like, everything's fine, you know, with everyone. So when I got back to all the people, I told them what was going on, and they were like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm fine. I'm not stressed at all. Because I didn't want them to think that their trip was going to be bad, you know? But then we get, the next thing we're doing is we're going on a 2-hour hike, and we get on this hike and there's 19 of us, including me, and the guy's gone. So it's just, man, this is a hike. One, this is a hike that I've never been on before. I've never even been to the car park of this place, let alone gone on the hike. Two, I've not had any time to think. And then, like, these people are worried. They're concerned. Or also the bus. I've never driven this type of bus before. I've never driven with a trailer on the back of the bus. And I'm trying to hide that inexperience from the people, you know. And we get out and I tell a story and give a bit of a speech to rally us, to be like, we're about to go on a thing. This is what we're doing. And it's all good. And I tell the story of William Buckley, who escaped the penal colony in 1802 and lived with Indigenous people for 35 years. And I said that was a story of a man who was put in an unexpected situation and made the best of it. You get it? Let's go. And we go on this walk, and then fucking like, you know, there's young people, there's older people, there's different friend groups or different groups, and people are connecting with each other. And so there's large groups and there's people going by themselves, and the group just is immediately split up. And I'm with the large majority of the group, but some people we are told have been left behind. So we're waiting for them and they're not coming. And then we go, fuck it, we're just going to go ahead. And then the people that we were waiting for are ahead, and the group's all stressed, and it's a fucking whole thing. And then, so that's stressful, right? Remember when I said all of those nice things that I did? Immediately, all of that energy is gone. And we're like, you know, the group is stressing out on the walk, and now the overarching narrative of the group is like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm trying to hold my shit together, but also I don't know what we're doing. Every time someone asks me a question, I'm like, I don't know the answer to that. They're like, what are we doing later? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. They gave me no information. And then, yeah, we're going to have dinner. And then I find out I'm supposed to be in Adelaide tonight having dinner with my mum. I was going to fly back from Adelaide tomorrow morning. I find out that I'm actually driving a bus back to Melbourne, and someone else is coming to pick the bus up. It's a whole complicated swap thing, but basically the way the logistics work out is I don't go to Adelaide, I go to Melbourne, which was not my understanding. And so I'm upset about that, because I was really looking forward to having dinner with my mum, not least of all to debrief with her about this stressful situation that I've been thrown in. Because really, in that situation, my mum would have been great. I would have I would have liked to have my mum there for support. Oh, I'll just rattle off the other stuff that happened. We cooked dinner, and people were asking me about the morning, and I realized that I had to kind of get everyone together and tell them what we were going to do, and I'm just making it up on the spot. But I did know that I wanted to see the sunrise at the Grampians over this lookout at Barocca, because I'd heard it's beautiful. I'd never been up there for sunrise, but I've been up there for other trips. And so I told them that. I said, let's do sunrise. Whoever wants to get up, 6:30, we'll get up and go see the sunrise. Everyone else, sleep until 8. That's when breakfast is. We go up, we do the sunrise. In the morning, I'm in a good mood. I'm feeling like it's a new day, but because I'm thinking of all the stuff that needs to happen through the day, I didn't count how many people got up for sunrise to get on the bus. So I didn't do a head count. So we watch sunrise and it's nice. And then we get back on the bus and I don't count. And there are a couple girls that were often late back to the bus, and turns out they were late back to the bus, and I left the fucking sunrise spot without them. And they messaged us when we were like 10 minutes after we left. And I've got a trailer on the back of the bus, so I can't turn it around on the winding mountain roads. So we turn it around at a U-turn, at a roundabout, and then we're driving back. And then they message that they've found someone to hitchhike back to town with, but we can't turn the bus around. So I just drive all the way up to another roundabout and then turn around, and we're half an hour late to breakfast. I'm boring myself now, even with the stressful details of this story, but I think you get a fucking idea, you know? That was the peak of it. Driving back from the lookout in the morning after everyone had such a great time at sunrise, and people were making jokes about like how nice this sunrise is makes up for the fact that you nearly lost some people yesterday. And I'm like, ha 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 ha. Yeah, I'm fine. It is funny. I'm glad they were making fun of me, because that means that they weren't actually upset, which is a good thing. But in the moment, I was still very stressed. And then when we left those girls at the fucking place, I was just like, I just want to fucking stop this bus and get out and run away from all you people and just cry and just let out all of this tension. But I couldn't. And then when we got back to the hostel, it was just straight into making breakfast and planning the times for the day and just like, oh, man. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I think the moment that I allowed myself finally to relax was when I got home and I got in the shower and I just sat in the shower. So that was at from 2 p.m. through till probably like 8:30 tonight. I was just so stressed, man. I was just so fucking upset. First, I was stressed and I just wanted to get through the experience with these people and make sure that they had a good time. And then once I dropped them all off in the city, that anxiety turned to, once I was by myself, anger at the guy who, for lack of a better word, abandoned me, right? And he has his reasons and that's fine. Next time I see him, I hope he apologizes. And if he doesn't, then I'm just going to tell him how it made me feel when he left us and left me, you know, with no instructions. And I will say, I understand the mitigating circumstances and I understand that you were in a bit of a situation. I empathize with you, but I want you to understand the situation that you put me in and how upsetting and difficult it was. I want you to appreciate that. And I would hope that you would like to apologize or make that up to me somehow. Otherwise, you just, you know, you don't give a fuck about me. And it's weird, right? The anger, I feel anger and then I start justifying the anger. Like I start imagining that he hasn't said sorry when it's like he hasn't had an opportunity to say sorry yet, you know? So I'll give him that opportunity before I make any judgment. Because right now he's still just a person who's in a difficult situation. But yeah, as soon as I drop the people off, the stress and anxiety just turned to anger and it was just directed at him because, you know, of course that's what the story dictates. And that's how I felt until I got home and then I saw my housemates and I was able to tell them the funny story. And then when I got in the shower, I was like, Aiden, you just need to fucking sit here under the water for a second and take a moment to breathe and just be still. And I did. And I didn't cry. And I think that's just what was going on. But man, that was a tough experience. That was like a tough 36-hour or 24, 30-hour, whatever experience. So, yeah. That's been my week, man. I don't know. That was a difficult experience is the name of the podcast this week. That's going to be the name of the podcast. And you know what? I reckon the image might be that flower arrangement by Alana Johnston because it's just so wonderful. It is. That's going to be the image for the week. And I got a bunch of other nice photos. I got some stuff for the gram. I got a nice photo of me on the lookout at that first walk that we did there, looking over the Grampians or Garraward, the traditional name for it. I got some nice photos of the sunrise this morning. Really beautiful. Oh my God. I got a beautiful photo of all of the people silhouetted against the sunrise with a tree next to him. That's actually a phenomenal photo. Fucking, I'm a genius. Damn it, I love it. My word. Sunrise was fucking incredible, dude. And I'm really excited to get the photos developed that I took on the camera because I think some of those could be really fucking cool, man. And I'm just excited to see how I did. Anyway. That was a difficult experience is the name of the podcast. Let me write that down. That was a difficult experience. Yeah. I don't know what else I got to say. Do I have anything else I need to say? Anything else I want to say? You guys got anything you want to say? Anything you want to do? I did some gigs last week. Yep. I had good times. I'm up to 58 gigs for the year. Pretty good, man. Good going, considering I am taking it easier this year, but we're on still probably like 3-4 a week average, maybe 5, pushing 5, something like that. I've got not that many in the next few weeks, but you know, I was actually talking about inspiration. I was watching The Bear, like I said, and there's this one scene. I just watched episode 4 while I was cooking dinner for myself, and one of the characters, who's a really interesting character who hasn't really had his own story arc until now, but he's this guy who loves desserts and he's really passionate about making these donuts. And he goes, the start of his story arc is he goes to Copenhagen to go to this really nice dessert bakery place. And the guy who is his teacher says that one thing that he's learned is that, I'm not going to be able to remember exactly the words, but it's like, you can have all the technique in the world, but that's no substitute for inspiration. And there's plenty of stuff that's made with a lot of technique that has no inspiration behind it. And he says, you can spend all the time in the world in here, but if you don't spend enough time out there, what's the point? And I really don't think I fully understood that until very recently. And with this new project, I'm really trying to, in air quotes, spend as much time out there as I can. And I'm really excited for the next 2 weeks. There's a huge opportunity, I think, because it's the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And I want to go see a bunch of stuff that I have not seen before. I'm not going to see the regular straight stand-ups that I always go and see, as great as they all are, and they all are so great. I'm not going to go see Daniel Connell. I'm not going to see Luke Hoagie. I'm not going to see Nick Cody. I'm not going to see, I probably won't go see Tom Gleason. I might, maybe I'll go see Tom Gleason, but that's because he's the best stand-up in the country. I hopefully will see Sam Campbell. I should get tickets for that fucking ASAP. I'll go see my boy Luca Muller. I'll go see Casey Phillips' Great Clown Show. I've already got tickets to see Con Kudas. I'm going to go see Jody Sloan. I am going to go and see, who else have I got tickets for? Oh, I'm going to be a part of my pal Ben Hunter's show, which I'm really excited about because he's so fucking funny. So I've got a little part in that. I've got tickets to see Siobhan Larkin and Max Flett, two new comics there. And I think that's it at the moment. On Tuesday next week, I'm going to a Bach and Vivaldi concert by the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. Fucking A, right? Lots of shit to get inspired by. So I might even do a little bit more planning in the next few days and see what other stuff I can get in the diary, because I've only got about 2 weeks of the comedy festival. And then I am away for like a week and a half, so I'll miss the second half. So I got to lock in some fucking stuff quick, or I will just, it'll pass me by. And I want to get inspired, and I want to see some great shit. All right, I reckon that's the podcast, hey? Thank you guys very much for listening. I'm going to get some fucking sleep. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I did it. You guys did it. Whatever you did this week, you fucking made it, bros. I've got the morning off tomorrow. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to play piano. My mum wrote a book of family history and I'm going to print it off and start reading it because she asked me to proofread it. Anyway, who gives a fuck? You guys rock. I love you. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Aiden Jones sitting under a tree. Bye-bye.